The narrative of David and Goliath is, I think, probably one of the most well-known narratives in the Old Testament. It's actually, I think, so well-known that it has been like co-opted, especially when it comes to self-help and leadership books today. It's always assumed that that is the underdog story. Right? A lot of books somehow in their title, right, Facing the Giants. And whether that's, right, giants in the workplace or giants in sports or giants in your personal life, right, often they take David and Goliath, both Christian and secular, and say, right, you look to David for inspiration, and here's how you take on something that is bigger than you, stronger than you, something that you can't have any control of, and this is how you overcome it. Generally speaking, that's not a terrible application, but I think when it comes to the story of David and Goliath, we've probably heard things like that for so often that we kind of assume that's probably what it looks like. And I think even when you're reading the Bible, right, have you ever done this? When you read scripture, you get to a point of the Bible that you know very well, and I usually kind of skip over it and move on to the next. And I think too often with the story of David and Goliath, we've maybe skipped over it and not really thought about it. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to maybe focus a little closer on that well-known narrative. And I want you to think about this question when it comes to David and Goliath is, what does it mean to be a truly courageous person? And so when you do your reading in 1 Samuel, and sometimes we're jumping to 1 Chronicles, you're going to hear about a country a lot, especially in the earlier part of Samuel, and it's the country of Philistia. And the country of Philistia, it's one of those issues that Israel has had for a long time in their early history because they failed to do something right away. When they entered the promised land after being rescued from Egypt, God commanded them, drive everybody out. And they didn't. And so they had constant nagging and warfare with the surrounding countries. And one in particular during this part, especially during the reign of Saul and early on life of David, is this place called Philistia. And if you look at Philistia, there's like, they call them the five cities, from Gaza to Ashkelon to Ashdod to Ekron to Gath, kind of five city-states. And so we have this issue again, and Samuel, before he begins the story of David and Goliath, says they're at the Valley of Elah, and the Valley of Elah is somewhere between Ekron and Gath, probably closer to that little river that's flowing into Ekron, kind of on the eastern borders of Philistia. And remember the story of David and Goliath. It's a really long narrative. I'm not going to go through all 50-plus verses. But it begins by, in the Valley of Elah, this giant Goliath is there. And 40 days in a row, he comes out to the battle lines and taunts the Israelite army and is blaspheming God. And it described Goliath as, depend how you look at historical measures, about 8 to 9 feet tall, having bronze armor, helmet, breastplate, armor over his legs that weighs 125 pounds, a guy that's carrying his shield, which means he has so much other armor, maybe the shield bearer needs someone else to carry that. The tip of his spear is said to weigh 15 pounds, and the Bible says he was a champion. And everybody was scared because he was bigger, he was stronger, he was a guy that no one could defeat. And so if you remember, there was this proposition that Goliath gave Israel, right? It's kind of the part of the story, it's a little strange to us. He said, you bring me your champion out here on this battlefield, and whoever wins, the other person, the loser, will become the servants of the winner. And when you read history, that they say that's something that's called representative warfare, which makes a lot of sense, actually, if you think about it, right? Instead of destroying entire armies, you just have a couple people or two people fight each other, and it's winner take all. So the fighters represent the whole military. David shows up. His dad, Jesse, sends him to the battle. David is not a military guy. He's bringing stuff for his brothers. And he sees this, and he hears this. And the problem with this whole David and Goliath scenario is Israel had no champion. Everybody was scared. Everybody was a coward. And so David sees it, and look at how the lesson begins for us. He said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him," Saul said. "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." David isn't a little boy. David is probably, 18 to early 20s. So he's big enough, he is strong enough, but he's not military. But notice what David says, "Let no one lose heart." Right? Israel, King Saul, we'd say he had no heart, They had no courage. But notice how David speaks about why he can go against this great giant Goliath and no one else could. He says this, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Notice why David thinks he can defeat Goliath. It's because, the Lord was able to rescue me from this hand of the lion and the bear. When David fought these beasts, lions and bears, you think that's actually quite a resume. If you can destroy a lion and a bear and rescue a sheep from one of their mouths, you can, you should be able to go against this giant. But David's confidence isn't that he is as strong as a lion or as strong as a bear, David always points back to the Lord. And here's an interesting account of it, What did Saul do? No one else. You're good enough. And so he puts his armor on David. Goliath had the best armor. Essentially, in military these days, when you had bronze, Saul had the best armor too. And it wasn't that David was too little for the armor, just that David was a shepherd. He was not used to wearing armor when he's going to fight. And so David has another thought. "I can't go in these because I am not used to them." So he took them off. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. I think in modern times, we see this an idea, Maybe it's even from picture books, that David just was this little guy with this little slingshot and trying to go against this strong military hero. But the more you do some extra reading and you realize that actually a slingshot was a weapon of ancient warfare. And those that could use it very well, was very effective. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If you go golfing today and you walk 20 yards in front of the tee box, turn around, let someone tee off at you, guess what's going to happen if that golf ball hits you? You will get severely hurt. No different than someone takes a slingshot and throws a stone and it hits you right in the head. Rest of the story. The Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him, took off hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. And after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shaarim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. God delivered Goliath into David's hands. And then you see that part of the story, right? The Philistine army, instead of having this representative warfare, they just were scared. They just took off running. And now the Israelites, right, suddenly were courageous. And they didn't find this newfound strength. They were courageous, right, because their enemy was already defeated. And so they took off running and got what was going to be theirs now. So, David and Goliath. Generally speaking, right, what was the application that we've always seemed to go back to? Put your faith in God, put your trust in God, that you can go after those, right, those big obstacles in your way, and when you trust in God, have your faith in God, God will bless you and help you overcome it. And generally speaking, putting your trust and faith in God is a good thing. But it doesn't mean you're going to be victorious every time. It doesn't mean you're going to overcome every obstacle. Think about that in the Bible. John the Baptist trusted, had a lot of faith in God, spoke very tough words to the powers that be, especially King Herod. He boldly confessed the name of the Lord, and he was beheaded for it. The apostles, when they were scared, when they had no heart, when they hid, right, especially after the death of Christ, they were safe. When they went out boldly and trusting in God and the message of the gospel, 11 out of 12 of them were martyred. So although it's good to trust in God, it's good to have faith in God, that's what we want, that's what we talk about a lot, Scripture speaks that way, it wouldn't be the safe to say that, and then, no, God will bless you and you will overcome everything. So what's the message here? I think a better message is you look at two types of courage. You have Goliath courage. Bigger, stronger, well-equipped, well-trained. He was a champion. And with the success he had in life, with everything that was on his side, he was confident. I don't think Goliath had any fear. He actually was offended when he saw David come at him. Really? That's how much you think of me to send somebody like this at me? Right? He trusted in everything that was a part of him. He trusted in his past and what he had. Right? You understand that? Goliath courage, right? When you are successful, when you are gifted, when you are talented, when you are the best athlete on the court or on the field, when you have been gifted with strength and with good health, and relatively in life and in your family, you are granted success, you get very confident. And you think to yourself, right, because of what I have done and what I am able to do, nothing can stop me. Until something does. Until your health goes away. Until, right, your job disappears. Until the unsteady history and the markets and all of the stuff going on in the world puts everything up in smoke for you, and now what do you have? Look at David. He had a different kind of courage, didn't he? God didn't promise to David that if you go on the battlefield, David, you will destroy this Philistine. David had other promises from God, though. Last week you saw that David was anointed king. And last week you heard that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And so David knew that, and he had that behind him. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God's presence is a part of him. He knew all of the promises of God in his life, and he saw God's hand at work in his life, and he gave credit to God's hand at work. And so when David looked at what God had promised him, he was able to go out on the battlefield and be very courageous. And so I think David's courage, we can call that biblical courage. And I found this definition that I really liked. This is what biblical courage is. The willingness to act in obedience to God because you are more focused on God's promises than any fear of negative consequences. You focus on God's promises, not on the obstacle in front of you. Right, you think about in your daily lives, we would rather have all of the issues in life, right, taken out from us. The pressures, the stress, the problems. And honestly, right, we think, right, if he could just take away this issue or take away that problem or give me a little bit of better health or give me just a little bit of success in this area, then all of my issues in life will be solved. That's just not realistic, nor is that true. But you see the differences between having a Goliath courage, which says, I'm strong enough to rely on myself, and I can take care of any problem on myself, to having this biblical courage, which says, I trust in God's promises, so I don't focus myself on the problems in life, I focus on God's promises. And even though I know I feel like I don't want to do something, I know that what God has promised me, and so I will take that obstacle head on because I know what God says to me. So when you have this idea of biblical courage, the question becomes, right, how does it happen? And so we look at the story of David and Goliath, and so some people say, okay, look at David as inspiration. Right? Be more like David. Trust more like David. Go into the battle like David. And then the more I am like David, the better I'll do. But when you look at the story of David and Goliath, it's probably a little more realistic to say, I am much more like the Israelites. That I'm scared, and at times a coward, and I really need a champion. That I really need a David in my life to go out and fight for me. And when you listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the David that he has. The better David. In the New Testament, they look at all of these guys from the Old Testament, all of these heroes of faith, including David, and they say, look to them, how amazing, how great they were. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the better David, the greater David, right? Who destroyed the powers of sin, death, and the devil. Where we have been faithless, Jesus was faithful. Where we were cowards, Jesus was courageous, right? You think all of the things that we fall short on, you have a greater David, you have a true champion in Jesus Christ. And when you see the true champion in Jesus Christ, then those words from the Apostle Paul make a lot more sense. That literally nothing that is going to happen to me, nothing, no power, no person, no forces, it doesn't matter what's ahead of me, nothing can separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. Essentially, what he means is, because the war was defeated by Christ, I don't have to worry about anything anymore, because that is the most important battle in my life that needed to be fixed, and Jesus took care of it. I think where the Christian gets in trouble is that we take that thought of Christ's victory for us, and then every time we have an obstacle in life that doesn't seem to be overcome, we're like, what's going on? The promise isn't that every obstacle is going to be gone out of your life. We're all at various times going to lose loved ones. We're all at various times it's going to have health issues. We're all at various times, right, it's going to have situations in our life, at our job, or in our family, or at school, or on the athletic field, that is going to be very difficult and hard and cause us to feel like we're going to collapse. And when those times comes, we know that we can have biblical courage because we have the promises that come from God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that we're going to overcome every obstacle. And that's the truth, right? We do not need less Goliaths in our life. No, we need more courage in our life. And the way we have more courage in our life is to have more Jesus in our life. And when your eyes are fixed on him, then even what goes against your even inclination, that you know that God has promised me I can go out and face this obstacle and that issue in my life, knowing this, that if God is for me, right? Look how Apostle Paul said, if God is for me, who can be against me? That's what we see in David and Goliath. Just like the Israelites, we have a champion, and that champion's name is Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.